Good morning.
Good morning.
A week ago, my good friend Tully urged us all to ask ourselves, where's Jesus? And so I have found Jesus at work in this church through our missions, and we have two opportunities for you to participate in our missions this month. First, we have the Friendship House, which is hosting their spaghetti dinner later this week, and they are looking for individually wrapped desserts, such as cookies or brownies. If you would like to donate some desserts individually wrapped, you can drop them off on Thursday to First Baptist. And if you need additional information or have other questions, you can contact Holly Thompson. Her phone number is printed in the bulletin for you. We also need volunteers for Dalton's Teen Maze, which is a hands-on learning experience for teenagers in the choices that we make in life and the consequences that go with those choices. And for teenagers, that's a big thing. So if you would like to volunteer, that will be going on all week. There's lots of opportunity. Check the midweek news for more information on how you can sign up to be part of that event. And then this afternoon, we are going to head over to First United Methodist Church for the Smiley Gregg Memorial Benefit Concert. Does anyone know what time we're all going to head over? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock over at First United Methodist. We have several people from our own church who will be singing or who might be singing this afternoon. And this is featuring also Dalton High School's choir. And Hayden is, I believe, part of that choir. Is that correct? Yes, yes. Are there any other announcements for the good of all? Yes. Wonderful. So if you were not able to hear that, if you are interested in packing those individually wrapped desserts, you can bring them to our church by noon, and we will make sure that those get over to First Baptist. Okay. Any other announcements? Then friends, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
please stand for the call to worship? Happy are the people who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that they follow. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And let us pray. God of the first and last, give us strength of mind that we might walk the path of obedience and discipleship without wasting our time thinking about who is important. Instead, guide our thoughts and our emotions that we may be like children, totally dependent on you, welcoming all with hospitality and love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Recognizing that we are easily swayed by the wrong advice and that we have strayed from the ways of the Lord, let us confess our sins to God with hope of finding love and mercy. Praying first in silence. Oh, sorry. And together we pray. God of wisdom, forgive our foolishness. We desire what we do not need and corrupt our relationships with envy. You urge us to gentleness, but we stir up conflict. Give us your grace that we may harvest righteousness and peace. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our teacher, we pray. Amen. Deceitful and beauty is vain, but the people who fear the Lord are to be praised. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Seated. I'm going to ask the children to come join me up front. We're going to get into groups today. This is going to feel a little bit like school. Sorry, you hired a pastor that used to teach. You can get into groups of two or three. Let's see. You want to spread out a little bit? You can get down here on the floor, or you can come up here onto the chancel. Groups of two or three, find a partner. There you go, we've got two. You're gonna be together. All right, spread out a little bit, you're gonna need some space. All right, and then how about you guys do a group of three? Does that sound good? Okay. Oh, we've got one more, yay. Hi, come on up.
Sadie.
Yeah, Sadie. All right, scoot back, make a couple of different groups. All right, boys, I'm going to hand these to you. You and Haynes can work on that. I know, Sadie and Lavinia are going to be together. Here we go. These are for you. Here's two for you, or one set for you, and then here's a set for y'all. All right, you have 9 pictures. I want you to spread them out, look at them, and put them in the order of what they're worth. So put the ones that are the cheapest, not worth very much, off to one side, and then on the other side, put, yeah, there's the ducks. There's little duckies.
I like this one.
You like that one too? Put them in the order. The most expensive, or what's worth the most, all the way to one side, and what's not worth as much to another side. What do we have here? We've got duckies. Those are like the little rubber ducks you put in the bathtub with you. We've got bars of gold. Gold bars. What else do we have in here? Yeah, these are all yours. Yours and Lavinia's. We're going to put them in order. What is this?
A bike.
That's a bicycle.
Also, I like the video game one.
You like the video game one? Yeah.
Also, what is the one with the puppies?
What is this one? What's that?
A ring.
That's a ring with a big diamond in it. Keep that in mind for later. No, I'm just kidding. What else? Oh, I knew you would like that one. We have a basket full of puppies. Very important. All right, so which one do you think is most expensive? What costs the most? What's worth the most up here? You think that one? Oh, yeah, the rubber duckies? Definitely. And the puppy is definitely more worthy. What else?
I like those ones.
And these, yeah. What do you not like as much up here? Let's see. Okay, how'd we do over here? Okay, so we figure the rubber duckies are probably not worth as much. We have a tire swing, and then a bicycle, basket full of puppies, a video game, diamond ring, a cruise ship, a nice house, and then bars of gold on the far end. I don't know how many bars that is, but there's a lot of them piled up there. How about you guys? Same thing, so you think the rubber duckies and the tire swing are on this end. Yeah, you've got the bicycle. And then the diamond ring is cheaper than the video games. This should tell us something. And then we have our cruise ship, and then we have the puppies. Depends on the breed. You absolutely could get three puppies that are more expensive than a cruise ship. And then we have bars of gold and the house at the far end. Depends on the size of the house. You just might be accurate. All right, what do we have over here? All right, we've got rubber duckies in line with the cruise ship and diamonds and houses.
Split them into two.
Oh, you've got two separate groups. Okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
The puppies and the rubber duckies are definitely high on the pecking order over here. You like those at the puppy shop?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's bring it back together. If you were in school, we might have a little chime that rings. That never worked for me with middle schoolers. I used to ring those chimes, and I had a rain stick, and I'd shake it back and forth, and then we had Hurricane Charlie in 2004, and I put the rain stick in the closet. So, yeah, I definitely think those are beautiful. Yeah, rubber duckies and a diamond ring. She's got good priorities, Mom. Good priorities. So we just took a bunch of objects. These are not people, are they? Well, the puppies might be debatable. But other than that, these are not people. These are things. And we just ranked them by what we think is most important. Well, yeah, we've got Mario in the video game, but that's also debatable whether that's a real person.
Can you give me real puppies like those?
You want me to give you real puppies? This was a bad idea. So we have ranked these objects by what we feel they are worth. And so we've got all these different ideas up here of what we think these things, what their value is. Do we do that with people? Do we rank people? Y'all might not, because y'all are really great. Y'all are awesome. But sometimes adults rank people the way we just ranked these objects. You like the bicycle too? Yep. Let's listen now, okay? So, but is it right to rank people by what they're worth? No. So we're going to hear a story today of Jesus' disciples, and they were very, very uneasy because they lived in a culture like ours that ranks people in order of what society thinks they are worth. And the disciples were really concerned about which of them was going to be the greatest to Jesus. Who was going to be the greatest disciple, the most important Jesus right-hand man? Who was it? And Jesus said, no, that's not how we do things. Guess what he told them that we should be like? Children. Jesus put a child in his lap, and he held him up or her to his disciples, and he said, be like this one. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
How would I rate them? Oh, I definitely think puppies would be high in the order there.
Yeah, puppies are.
Yeah, puppies are. They just are. That's not debatable. All right. So will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for saying how much I am worth. Help me to remember that my worth comes from you. And help me to love others the way you have loved me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all can take those pictures back with you.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Your word is our wisdom. It gives us insight, strength, and courage. Open our hearts and our minds that we might receive what you want to give. Speak, Lord, your people listen. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Listen for God's word. A woman of strength, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchant with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first shall be last of all, and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired. Last Sunday was an incredible time for all of us as we celebrated the beginning of a new chapter in the life of this congregation. And the past few weeks have been an absolute blessing as I have worked alongside my family and many of you to prepare to move into our new home. I'm delighted to say that I am finally finished painting. The last stroke, the last roller went up yesterday. I'm completely done, and I'm exhausted. I don't know about you, but my first impression of the Proverbs 31 woman is, when on earth does that woman sleep? Then I wonder, is this what's expected of women in order for them to be counted as worthy? It certainly is the message that many preachers have given, whether explicitly or implicitly. This is often the passage chosen on Mother's Day or at the funeral of a sweet church lady who has always kept things running smoothly. It has a lengthy section in my women's devotional Bible, which, by the way, I recently realized was edited by a woman who would not likely find herself allowed to take any leadership role in her denomination. I've even heard it said that this whole chapter was written by King Solomon himself, describing his mother as a woman of worth. As a woman myself, I can picture this laundry list of attributes associated with the woman in Proverbs 31. Clearly, she's a magnificent wife and mother, an accomplished entrepreneur. She runs an efficient and probably very clean household. She's a skilled and creative artisan, a wise teacher, an excellent planner, and a tireless worker. Again, when does this woman sleep? She's awake before dawn, and her light never goes out. If this is the idea of a perfect wife, the capable wife, as the NRSV translates it, then I owe my husband a huge apology. Babe, I just can't live up to this standard. The disciples in our passage from Mark were having a tough time too. They were arguing over which of them was the greatest. In other words, which would be Jesus' protege, his right-hand man. Who would be the one to take over for him when the time came? Would it be Peter, the rock? Maybe James, Jesus' own brother. What about Simon the Zealot? Or maybe John, the disciple whom Jesus loved? Who was the most worthy among them? Isn't it just like us humans? We rank ourselves and others according to our skill level, our education, our professions, our possessions, our connections to other important people. We constantly compare ourselves to what society expects of us. We strive to gain more money, bigger houses, expensive cars. We say things like, if I only had blank, then I'd be happy. I would be a person of worth, a person of means, a person of substance. Then Jesus brings a little child into the midst of the debate and says that whoever welcomes one of these little ones welcomes the Son and the Father who sent him. Our minds, of course, now shift to some melodic version of Jesus loving the little children, all the children of the world. You're singing the song, aren't you, in your head, maybe cringing just a little bit? Yeah, I bet. Now, it's true that what I said in the children's moment, I think God does want us to emulate the awe and wonder that go along with being children. As adults, we become complacent about our relationship with God at times. We worship Him, yes. We pray on a regular or maybe occasional basis, but we don't often sit in God's presence and simply marvel at His creation. We don't think of God's existence with awe and humility. We take it for granted as a fact, or at best, we may wrestle with its implications. No, we often find ourselves lacking in seeing God through the eyes of a child. Yet I wonder if that's all Mark was trying to tell us. When Jesus took this child into his arms and told the disciples to be like children and to welcome children, it was on the shirt tails of his other command to be last of all and servants of all. See, children in the ancient times were not considered people yet. They were future people. They were soon to be people. They were people in training. But as children, they were counted as possessions owned by their fathers. They belonged to the patriarchs of society, no different than a servant or a slave. This goes beyond the seen and not heard culture. This even goes a step further from the idea of having plenty of children so they could help with the chores on the farm. Children were property. So when Jesus tells the disciples to lower themselves, to put property above their own station, to show hospitality to not yet people, this was the epitome of flipping the hierarchy of society on its head. The systems of power and prestige, of rights and privilege, of the very nature of a person's worth were, well, upended. This makes me want to take a second look at our Proverbs 31 woman. With all her striving, sowing, working, bringing, rising, providing, planning, considering, you can follow along, I'm going right through the verbs, buying, planting, girding, making, perceiving, holding, opening, reaching, creating, selling, supplying, clothing, laughing, speaking, and teaching. How are any of us supposed to measure up to that? How are we supposed to become people of worth? By being less than children or by being overachievers? What exactly is it that God expects from us? All I can think of right now is how tired I am in this very moment. This was another morning in which I rose at 4:15 to write this sermon. This is not my idea of the ideal woman of Proverbs 31, but of an overachiever who relates way too much to finding her own sense of self-worth by pushing harder and doing more to somehow mask her deep, abiding fear that she'll never be good enough. So at 4:15 this morning, I opened my trusty book on preaching, the lectionary, called Feasting on the Word. Every passage for every week in the lectionary has four different scholars that weigh in on different perspectives on the text. There's the theological, the pastoral, the exegetical, how about that for a word, meaning interpreting the Greek or the Hebrew, and the homiletical, or the art of preaching. I was thrilled to see that a retired professor from Columbia Theological Seminary wrote the exegetical perspective for our Proverbs 31 woman. I did not have the good fortune to take classes with her. She had already retired. But the influence of Kathleen O'Connor's time at CTS permeates the Hebrew and Old Testament department almost as much as Walter Brueggemann. And I've actually had the opportunity to meet her. Dr. O'Connor deviates from the tried and true Mother's Day version of the Proverbs 31 woman. She does not find a prescription for godly woman in this passage. And while she agrees that this woman certainly is capable, and the Hebrew suggests that the capable or worthy is more akin to a kind of warrior-like strength, this is a powerful and mighty woman, a strong woman in every sense, someone like woman wisdom. Dr. O'Connor points out that the entire chapter is an acrostic poem, which means that the first letter of the first word of each line begins with the alphabet in Hebrew. So it starts with Aleph, and it goes all the way through to Tav. This poetic structure symbolizes harmony and completeness, very much like the 144,000 people in the book of Revelation. Does not mean that that's the literal number of saved souls in the end times. It means that there is a complete number. There's a perfect number. If this poem is the final chapter of Proverbs, and it follows hundreds of sayings scattered throughout chapters 10 through 30 of how we should live, then this woman is the embodiment of perfect wisdom, of what living in woman wisdom's household would be like. Remember a few weeks ago, we had woman wisdom going head to head with woman folly? They were both beckoning to us from their houses, urging us to come dine with them at their tables. Yet woman folly was a trickster. She made lots of false promises, but her fare only led to ruin. Instead, imagine living with woman wisdom as described in Proverbs 31. She's dressed in purple, the color of royalty, but she's clothed in strength and dignity. Her husband, or anyone who devoted themselves to wisdom with the type of commitment required from a life partner, reaps the benefits of her talents, as do her children. You cannot help but be prosperous at the idea of living in her household. Most of all, the greatest of her talents and attributes, woman wisdom, the Proverbs 31 woman, fears the Lord. She sits at the Lord's feet, mesmerized by his teaching. She washes his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. She anoints his head with oil on the eve of his crucifixion. She offers him water on his journey to Golgotha. She prays at the foot of the cross. We, like the disciples, are too often distracted by what makes us worthy of God's love to notice that we are on the road to Jerusalem, to see our Savior make the ultimate sacrifice because of his love for us. Instead, let us be like children who can sit in awe watching a simple stick bug wiggle back and forth. Let us be like children who run to their parents for snuggles and kisses when they scrape their knees. Let us be like children who do not see themselves in the high places at the city gates, but who rest in the knowledge that God is great and God is good. When we welcome such as these, when we can dine at woman wisdom's table and dwell in her happy home, we become people of worth. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
As we have heard the word of God read and proclaimed, let us affirm our faith together. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being born in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, let us pray together. God of understanding, through the word read and proclaimed, and through your word incarnate, Jesus Christ, you give us the direction we need and show us that there is nowhere else to go but to you with our joys and our concerns. We pray for our world that too often follows the advice of wickedness that leads to war, to violence, to conflict between ethnicities, to fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the women in this world who, as payment for their devotion and love as capable wives, daughters, sisters, girlfriends, and mothers, receive rejection, abuse, heartbreak, and hate. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for relationships that are broken by conflicts and dispute, by murder and deceit, and that cannot find a way back to restoration and healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our children who have been called the first in God's heart and kingdom, but are not welcomed, loved, heard, or spoken to. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We believe in you, God of justice and mercy, and we ask, trusting in your power, to heal the wounded hearts, to restore the brokenness of the world, and to lead us to everlasting peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who teaches us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have been made capable of being good stewards of what God has given us. Let us, with gratitude in our hearts, give from what has been given to us. Let us pray. Our great gardener, we are like trees planted by streams of water that yield fruit in season and prosper in you. We are grateful for all that you have provided, and we dedicate our first fruits to you and to the work of your church, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.
Thank you.